So glad you could be here this morning. And I know the weather is affecting our, you know, who's here this morning, but also we had a whole bunch of people going traveling this morning, and I know a whole bunch of people are sick this morning. But I'm so glad that you're here this morning. What a great place to be in the house of God. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Let's pray before we get into the Word of God. Can I just ask you to just agree with me in prayer? Thank you for everyone here this morning, Lord. Thank you for the presence of God here this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here. And I thank you that we have the ability and the privilege to preach the Word of God and to hear the Word of God. And so I pray that we take advantage of every moment to hear, to listen, and to apply the power of your Word into our life this morning. Father, I thank you that when we do that, it blesses you, it glorifies you, and it blesses us, Lord, and advances your kingdom. So bless this time that we spend in the Word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today I'm going to talk to you second or third week in our series called Better Together. We are better together. And today I'm going to talk about the power that we have, the power of we, the power of we. So let me say this, start off with this. You know, we live in a world of how many people are in this world? Over 6 billion people. That's a lot of people, right? So in a world of 6 billion people, often we can feel like we're a very small part, and we can get lost in this world that seems so big, right? And then we can have questions like, questions when you compare yourself to this, to everyone who's alive in the world, you think, you know, do I really matter? Do I really matter? You know, I think about, even in some Christian circles today, some religious circles, there's this concept, and I call it, it's not just a concept, what do we call it? A stigma, a perception that if you're a Christian, you should not think much about yourself. Don't think too highly of yourself, because if you're a Christian, well, then God thinks of you like a worm, right? You're like a worm in God's eyes. And there's several scriptures that we kind of refer to that, you know? So when you think about that, that, you know, that you don't really matter very much, other questions arise. Like, you know, like, is it wrong for me to think about me? Is it wrong for me to want the very best for me? Or is it wrong for me to want to be the best that I can be? So those are good questions. So in light of what I've just said there, can I just say to you this morning, I believe that God wants to say to you through me this morning that you are a very, very important person to God. Amen? You are a very important person. You really, really matter to God. You know, I matter to God. I matter to God. Me, I am very important to God. And this is why we always say, this is why at City Light, numbers are important to us. Numbers are important. We take attendance at every meeting. We count the number of salvations. We count the water baptisms. We want to know who's involved in our small groups. We want to know who's taken our discipleship courses. 101, 201, 301. We even ask people to fill out welcome cards because we want to know their names and their addresses. We want to know who they are because we want to know how we are doing as a church, how we are connecting people, how we are caring for people, and how we are discipling people. And that's really important to us. You know why? Because point number one, we really matter to God. Amen? We really matter to God. The foundation, the very foundation of our relationship to God depends on that. Just knowing that I matter to God. Matthew's Gospel 22, verse 37, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord, your God, with all your heart and your soul and your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." Now here, right in this one scripture, Jesus gives us the very key the very formula for a happy and a healthy life. So first of all, what do you do? What do you have to do? You've got to love God. You've got to love God passionately from the depths of your heart. You know, think about God. Talk to God, right? And seek God and show your love. Show your love. Express your love for God. But not only that. Not only that. Jesus said, not only love God. Don't just stop there. But love others passionately. Love others with all your heart. Consider others. Care for others. But then he said, don't stop there. Don't just stop there. Then also love yourself. Love the you. Love the me that God created and that God loves. Right? Luke's Gospel chapter 15. Jesus tells three stories right in a row. The entire chapter is just dedicated to this one point. Three stories. Lost coin, lost sheep, and lost son. Right? Three stories that Jesus told. Now, in these three stories, Jesus reveals his heart. God reveals his heart. And the point of all three of these stories is this, that every individual person matters to God. God thinks of the one. God thinks of the one. God's like that woman who loses one coin. She's got 10 silver coins. She loses one. She tears the house apart, turns everything upside down. She doesn't stop until she finds the one. God's like the shepherd. He has 100 sheep in his fold. You know what he notices? The one. He notices the one that's missing. So he leaves the 99 in the hands of other good shepherds. He goes after the one. He goes over land, over sea. He fights wild animals to bring back that one. And then God's like the father. One of the sons has gone away. He has another son. But he still longs for that one son. And longs for him to come back to him. Right? No matter how many sons he has, God is still concerned with the one. So Jesus tells us very clearly, the message of Jesus is this: God loves the individual and he places high value on me. Amen? Something significant, I say, happens. Something significant happens when I really began to understand that. Understand that. And not only understand that, understand that God really cares about me. He thinks about me. He wants to bless me. He wants to prosper me. He opens doors for me. He heals me. He gives me strength. He does all those things for me, right? He is for me. He's always there for me. Amen? He's always there for me. You know, maybe some of us came from a broken family, or maybe you were abandoned as a child. And so this question arises in your mind, do I matter? But I want to tell you once again, you matter to God. You matter to God. See, understanding that is the foundation of your security of your relationship with God. We've got to understand that you, and next point, you are a very important person to God. Amen? You are a VIP to God. But not only are you a very important person, point number two, we are a very important people to God. Here's what 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says, but you, I'm going to put we, but we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Can you see that? That God not only loves me, God also loves we, right? And God designed me. He designed me to live in the we. Yeah, good. Do you understand that? God designed me. In other words, God designed me for something called community. Community. He did not mean for us to live alone, isolated and aloof. That was never God's intention. You know, I heard an interesting fact about this one major university down in the States. They discovered the secret to health. And they say this, the surprising secret to health. You know what it is? Close relationships. And in the study, they discovered it involved over 300,000 people. And this team discovered that social isolation was as damaging to health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Wow. So what's that study saying? It's exactly what God is saying. It is not good for man to be alone. Amen? We are better together. You understand that? We are better together. You know, the greatest things in life don't come through individuality. The best things in life, the most blessed things in life, they come through community. Amen? And if God is ever going to do anything good for you, guess what? He's going to do it through another person. He does it through others. Do you understand that? We were never meant to live alone. No, we are people. Every good thing that God does in life, He does it through people. And we are all part of people, aren't we? We're part of the human race. And if you're a Christian, you're part of the universal church. And all these are very impersonal terms. But the we that is really special to God, you know what it is? Community. It's the family of God. That's what's special to Him. And God wants every single one of us to grow in wisdom and understanding and knowledge. And God wants for all of us to have support, to be loved and cared for and taken care of and to be served and to be comforted when we're suffering loss and all these things. And so what did God do? He put us into His family, the local church. And apart from the family of God, you cannot survive and live a blessed life apart from the family of God, right? So what we really need to understand, point number three, I'm almost done here. Point number three, the church is not just a place for us to attend. Church is a community, a family that we need to belong to. See, it's through people. It's through people that your prayers are going to be answered. It's through people that you're going to grow in faith and knowledge and understanding. God uses people to reveal who He is and your plan for life. And He does it through the Word, but you boil it down, He does it through people, right? Somebody talks to you what the Word is. Somebody preaches the Word. Somebody takes you to a study. It's through people that God blesses us. Listen to what James 3 verse 18, message version says. Okay, this is what James says. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work. And I realize it's not easy to get along with people. It's hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with what? Dignity and honor. It's not easy relating to people. It's not easy making new friends, right? And I challenged you last week. I don't want to take you right back to last week. You need friends. And you don't need just any friends. You need friends of faith, right? Who have a connection to the throne room of God. So that when you're in trouble and you need comfort and you need encouragement, you need counsel, you've got Christians who are full of faith and knowledge and wisdom that are speaking into your life. God uses people to bless you. Amen? We need friends. We need friends of faith. But I want to tell you, it's so important, this issue of belonging. And for the most part, I think that many of us, we just don't understand the power that's released into our life when we wholeheartedly, unreservedly decide that we're going to really be a part of the we. And life is not just about me. Right? When we get involved and we just show up every weekend and we bring our kids, something happens, right? You know, me, I want to tell you, well, maybe not me, maybe you, but I'll say me. Okay. Me left alone by myself. You know what I become? Immature. I become self-centered, always offended, right? And life is all about me. And I don't like this, and I don't like that, and why don't they do something for me? It's time we grow up, right? Get over yourself, I say, right? Make the shift. We have to make this shift, this transition from life is just about me to life is really about we. Right? And that's what God is trying to tell us is here this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. And another version says, daily, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Wow. That's really good advice. You know, I read a stat recently, and I heard a stat that the average North American Christian attendance on any given Sunday in a North American church is as low as 50%. Half the people are away on any given Sunday. And there's various reasons for it. I mean, there's travel. People need time off. We live in such a busy world. People get sick. Then we have a snowfall like that out there. And some people can't even travel on that. There are various reasons. But the number one reason for that low attendance is because believers haven't transferred from the me to the we. For most people, a lot of Christian church is just a place to attend. When I don't have somewhere else, I have to go. And I think for most people in society, church is just a place that I attend. It's just a casual part of my life. And it's not like that in their workplace, in their work, or it's not like that when they have to go to school. But somehow church is not that important to a lot of people. And they don't realize how absolutely vital it is for our strong spiritual health. You know? And, often I preach these, let me just back up. You know, sometimes I preach and I think, you know, God, I don't want to say some things. But sometimes I believe the Holy Spirit says, just speak it, because they're not going to kill you after you say it. They're not going to stone you because they love you, because all you're doing is speaking the truth in love. Can I tell you that to you? I'm just trying to speak the truth in love to you. Maybe I'm speaking to the choir today because you're the guys that are here this morning, right? But let me say this. If you're here only 50% of the time, or let's say you're a parent and you're only here 50% of the time, that means your kids, the next generation, this generation, are only here 50% of the time, right? Now we got to realize that most of our kids spend most of their time in secular environments where God is rarely mentioned. In fact, God is even rejected. And where they're spending their time in media and watching TV, which is literally anti-God. And we have these great hopes and aspirations, desires, and expectations for our kids that they would serve God with all their heart and be faithful to God, and they would love God, and then they would grow up there and grow families that would love God in return and keep on, you know, causing this legacy of being passionate followers of God. We have all those desires, and yet we can't bring our families to church every week. Wow. We don't realize the power and the benefit that there is of plugging in, really plugging into the local church. Amen? You know, when I think of only me, it's a dead end. It's a small world. It's limited. Amen? Just me, myself, and I. That's all we need, right? It's so small. But when you start plugging into the we, I tell you, opportunities and avenues begin to open up. You know why? Because we were literally committing. You're literally committing yourself to the bigger world of we, not just me. Amen? know, part of just being saved is being part of something bigger. You know, salvation is about being a part of the family of God, the community of God. Now, it's not Pastor Doug saying the church is a family. I'm saying it because the Bible tells us the church is a family. That's why I'm saying it. Amen? God wants us to be a family that shares and cares for one another. And this is why at City Light Church, I'm always asking you to get connected. Join a small group or lead a small group or take a class and grow in faith and knowledge and love for one another. Let's work together, you know? And I believe there's this dynamic. There's actually a dynamic that's involved, a dynamic that happens. Something happens when we become a part of something that's bigger than us. When we transfer, we move from the me to the we, something happens. And you know what happens? The greatest thing that happens, it changes us. It changes our mindset from consumer mindset to contributor. Do we see that? You know, and we think about the world and what the world offers, like Starbucks. Starbucks exists for the me, right? You go to Starbucks. It used to be like 2 or 3 decades ago, if you wanted a good beverage and you wanted a coffee or something like that, you'd go to the local restaurant coffee shop and you'd say, and they'd say, what do you want? They say, I want a coffee. And they would tell you, okay, you want it black, you want it hot, with cream or without sugar, or without cream, without sugar, without sweetener. That's all you got, right? So now today you go to Starbucks and what do you, you stand in Starbucks and your eyes are just going through all this list of all these me choices, right? Well, I want, let me see, today I want, what do I feel like today? What does me want today? Well, me wants a macchiato. I don't even know what that is, but macchiato, double shot, extra hot, low fat, right? Grande. I mean, what do you want? Oh, the next guy comes up. What do you want? Well, you know what? I want a mocha. I want a latte. I'm a mocha cappuccino, blah, 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 you know? And you just, you know, Starbucks exists for the me, right? The church does not exist just for the me, does it? Next point. Last point. Church does not just exist for me. We, point number four, we are the church. And who do we exist for? We exist for the world. We exist for the world. I believe when people finally get that, when we really get that revelation, it's so powerful. And I love these verses. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Paul says, I keep asking. Another verse says, I keep praying. I keep asking. Paul says, I ask and I ask and I ask and I keep asking God that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. He says, I keep asking God and keep praying. He says, and this is what I pray. I pray that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which you've been called to. We all have this incredible, great hope. What's our greatest hope? What's my greatest hope? That at the end of my life, I'm going to be standing before the God, before Jesus, face to face, and He's going to be talking to Him, and He's walking me into heaven. Amen? That's my greatest hope. But He says, you've got an incredible hope. You've got a reason for living. You've got a hope in this life, in this earth. But not only do you have this hope that He's called you, He says, I've called you to more than that. I've called you to the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people. And who are His holy people? We are His holy people. I've called you to the we. I've called you to hope. I've called you to we. And His incomparably great power for who? We who believe. Amen? We. Verse 22. He says, and God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church. Over the church who is what? We, which is His body, we are the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. Wow, you could preach a powerful message just on these scriptures alone. But this, we have a series that we're going through in our men's study, and maybe there's a couple other studies. It's called Ephesians, and it's by J.D. Greer. And it's a great expose on what these scriptures actually mean to us. And I believe that when we really understand this revelation, it'll blow the lid off the limitations in our life. Because it's not just about me anymore. Amen? God wants us to graduate, transfer, move on from the me to the we. Here's what J.D. Greer said in that last video. I'll just read some of the things he said to you. This is what he said. The main thing that Jesus is building is his church. The church is the focal point of everything God is doing in this world. Did you hear that? The church is not casual. Church is not peripheral. The church is the very center of what God is doing in this earth. It's the focal point of what God is doing in this world. Focal. And Paul says, the church is not an event you attend on weekends. It was a community, a family of faith that you build your life around because it was the place where God was and the place where God's power flowed. It's still that place. Amen? This is God's house. This is for His name, for His fame, and for His glory. And who are His house? It's not the building, it's you, it's me. And God wants God's house to be together. Amen? I hear a few amens. Don't stone me when I'm over, okay? And don't pour Gatorade on my head because I talked about the Super Bowl this morning. Amen. It's a joke between Bill and I. Okay, I want to tell you, the church does not just exist for me. It exists because we are together. Amen? And he goes on to say, just a couple more excerpts here. He said, God is ready to move heaven and earth to pour out the power of his resurrection in order to complete the mission of the church in the world. What's our mission? It's to reach people for Jesus Christ. That's our vision mission statement. Our vision is to reach people for Jesus, even just one at a time. Just one at a time. And our goal, our mission is to make them like Jesus into disciples. Amen? And then one more statement. He said there are 64,000 unreached people groups in the world today. Did you know that? I thought just about the whole world was being reached. But there are pockets of people all around. He said 64,000 unreached people groups in the world. And God is waiting for the church to reach these people with the gospel. Amen? The church does not exist for me. And I like what Craig Groeschel says, we don't go to church, we are the church. And we exist for the world. Amen? Here's what Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 says. Paul says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the other. Did you hear what he just said? He said the same thing I'm saying. You need to move from the we to your own interests to the interests of others, from the me to the we. Amen? And in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. We need to move, to allow ourselves. We need to convince ourselves that not only are we important, but we are really important when we connect. We have so much more power and ability to influence our world when we connect together. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. What he's saying is this, we are better together. We are better together. We are stronger together. We achieve more together, right? It's not just about me. It's not me changing the world. It's we changing the world. We change the world together. And that's exactly what the Word of God is telling us. We need to start thinking we, not just me. Amen? I'll just go right back to the start of my message. So we need to understand that God loves me. And there's nothing wrong with caring about me. We need to care about ourselves. But we also need to understand that we, when we start to connect, when we begin to connect to other people, with others, for God's mission, you know what it results in? A win-win situation. It's good for me, and it's really good for the we. Amen? God wants us to be blessed. God is concerned for the individual. So that's why He puts place in a place where there's other people that we can connect to. Such a simple truth, but so powerful, isn't it? You know, it's not about me changing the world. It's about we changing the world. And when we show up and we serve one another, we love one another, we connect people to Jesus Christ, the harvest of souls is brought in. That's how we do it. You know, it's so important, isn't it? And I was talking with a couple of people this week, and just this thought came into my mind as we were talking about sharing some of the struggles we had. And at the end of that, our conversation, two conversations, I said these words, you know what? Life is good. Life is good. And I have to really be honest. I have to say, you know what? I love my life. Do you love your life? I love my life. It's not perfect. You know, it's not always comfortable. It's not without stress. But overall, I love the life that God has given to me. You know, life is so good. Life is so much better. You know why it's better? Because of Jesus. Life is better. Life is good because of Jesus. Go to the next point. Okay? Life is good. Life is better. Life is better with Jesus. It's better in community. It's better when we are with each other. We are better together. Amen? Can we say that? Can you just agree with me? Life is better together. We are better together. Do you believe that? Okay, prove it then. Prove it. All right. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Thank you, Father, for the willingness of everyone to hear this word. And I pray that even as we have agreed that life is better together, that we would not just say those words, that we would really take a step and experience the power of those words. Thank you, Father, for being with us today. Just keep your heads bowed and say, you know what? God says it is not good for a man to be alone. So why would we ever want to be alone? So that's the challenge. The challenge today for us is to get involved in community, to get involved, to love God and to love other people, to not just be an attender, but to be a giver and to be a builder of God's kingdom, and to be a biblical disciple, just like Jesus. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray the same prayer that you prayed for the disciples. Jesus, you said, by this all men will know that you're my disciples by the way that they love one another. So, Father, in Jesus' name, may we truly love one another. May we love, serve, get involved, help each other. So many people very young in the faith in our family, and they need someone to help them grow, to challenge them. And I pray that we would grow as this family of believers, Lord. Family is hard sometimes to build, but Lord, with your grace, with your power, with your Holy Spirit's presence in us, nothing's impossible. Build a strong, vibrant church that reaches into the community, sees souls won to Christ, lives changed. Father, we just pray for this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed just for another couple of minutes. I want to say, maybe you're here today and you're feeling right now, you know, life is kind of empty. There's something I'm really missing in my life. I want to tell you exactly what you're missing. You're missing a personal relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's the greatest gift that He could ever give you. That's what salvation is called. It's all based on a relationship. So that it's a gift of God. Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. He shed his blood. And because of that, if you invite him into your heart, if you say, Jesus, be a part of my life, he will give you life. He will give you eternal life so that one day when you leave this planet, you'll be in heaven with him forever. And God wants to give you right now, not just heaven on, not just heaven when you pass away, but right now he wants to give you a brand new life, a life with purpose and power. If that's you today, you see, I need Jesus in my life. I want you to say this very simple prayer. And I promise you it will be the most powerful prayer that you will pray, because it will change you. It will change your destiny forever, and it'll affect your family too as well. So if that's you, just repeat these words after me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died, and I believe that you shed your blood for my sins. Please forgive me of every sin I've ever committed. And I also believe that you rose from the grave and that you are alive today. So today, Lord, I invite you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life forever. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. I want to say, if you sincerely said that prayer very first time, I want you to raise your hand up and just hold it up high. Okay, you said that prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Raise your hand. I said that prayer. I received Christ into my heart. I received Jesus. Right? Raise your hand if you're here. You said that prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for blessing us with your presence here today.